I was talking just about devotion, you see. How that devotion is dwelt, what is meant by devotion. Our heart, it is a subject of heart, not of head. It is a subject of heart, not of head. Heart always means to be attached somewhere. You might call it mind or heart, anything you like. This will be attached somewhere. Now we are attached to the world, to the families, to the outward things. How that attachment has been developed by constant contact with them. The more we are in contact with outer things, the more attached we are there. This is but natural. The mother brings up her child, you see, looking after the child on him. The child goes away outside, say for 3, 4, 5 hours, she does not turn off, her heart is upset. Why? That heart has been attached to the child because she was all along seeing, coming in contact with the child. Now the hearts are attached to the physical body, to the outward attachments. Naturally, Suda Sachin says, well, my feet go ahead and my heart goes back to it is attached. But bhakti is a subject of heart, not of head, first of all. We have to dwell now attachment with God. Now we are attached with the world. All these outer things are ephemeral, changing panorama. The heart which is attached to the outer panorama, how can that sometimes always resist you changing? This is one thing. So naturally, which is not unchangeable permanence, how can that be attached to that? So first we have to dwell attachment. We have to just change from the outside with the God within you. So first and foremost thing, ABC starts by coming in contact constantly, more often, with whom you want to dwell your attachment. For that purpose, the first step of any religion is there. Go to the church, say prayers, morning, evening, at night. Even in all religions, Sikhs go to temples, Indians go to the Hindu temples, Mohammedans go to the mosques. But 3 times they go, 5 times, you see. So this is the ABC start from here. So that we must find out sometime, just directing our heart to that way. So the more is it, more often we are attached there, the natural attachment will dwell that side. However, this is the first time. Sometimes we leave off all outer regularities. So for that very purpose, this diary has been introduced. For the sake of the one whom you are devoted fully. You see? Heart is attached here. For his sake, you love all others who are attached to him. Who are created by him, you might say. In that way, there is no binding on you. Because you have got the ruling passion for one. For his sake, you love everybody, his children, his authority. You follow now how this devotion is dwelt. How to take it out from one place and attach to the other. So first is the most constant attachment, coming in contact with the thing, with the person, or with God. That's how the attachment will develop. When it is dwelt, then you become helpless, you see. Because your heart is attached. You might be going this way and heart is attached somewhere else. You will always be dragged there, you see. So this is the first thought of devotional bhakti. Diary is proposed, how much time you put in, how many places, in how many places your heart is attached to outer things, in form, one form or the other. That requires purity of heart. Purity of heart, what does it mean? Wherein no other thought strikes other than whom you love. That. Purity means that. If it's all, when there's no other thought just in your heart for anybody else, that's all vacant from the outward attachment, then God is there. Isn't it? So devotion starts, you have to just detach your heart from the outer things to the God or God in man. How that is done? By constant coming in contact. First, ABC starts regularity of your devotion, of your practices, of your attending your churches or sacred places. For what for? Just to think of the Lord for a time, isn't it? Or what else? You go to a holy place, to a temple, your heart is attached outside. What's the good of it? He said there are two friends. One, he was very fond of going for playing in the ground. The other said, I will go to the church. Though both of them were headstrong and they were good there, the one who thought of the field, playing in the field, he went away there. And the one who went to the, very much he was not in his own way, he went to the church. But while both of them there, what were doing? The man playing in the ground was thinking, my friend is in the church, he must be saying prayers. You see? Though his physical body is there, but all the heart is there. And the one who was in the church, you are thinking, my friend must be kicking balls now. Although physically he is there, but he is not there. You follow? So do all your works, physical, outer attachments, for the sake of one, love everybody. But your heart is too attached to one. You know? Sometimes people come to some holy place, to holy man too. There also they are attached somewhere else. They are thinking of the outside. What's the good of him there? It is better to be in the field than thinking of the church, you see, than to be in the church and thinking of the field. So this attachment is a subject of the heart. This dwells devotion, as I told you in due course. That is why this is first of necessity. What we do generally, we take up something and leave up the other things. They are all the same, we leave out the outer way, outer method by which our heart can be attached that way, directed that way. We leave out that thing. And we don't put it whole time the other way naturally. We are lost both ways. How the devotion is developed, this is the first thing. To be in contact with the object with whom you want to be attached. One thing, decide for you. Pity it is. We are adrift. We have not decided our goal, what we want to do. That is why I always press, well, decide what you want to become. Sometimes we are devoted to one thing. For 10 days or a month or 2 months, then we are just at change our direction to some other thing. The result is, you see, the time is just to dig up wells, some 2 feet, some 3 feet, some 5 feet deep, and water is nowhere. You follow? So first decide what you want to become, to whom you want to be devoted wholly and solely. And naturally, you have read scriptures, all masters say, when you got a man body, the highest thing you have to attach yourself to God. Wherever you will be attached, you will go there. Into the world, that is the reason why I have been coming to the world again and again. The reason is because we are not attached to God. Otherwise we would have gone to God. So this is your first thing. Keep your diaries. Eliminate all foreign thoughts from your heart. Our heart is divided. Let it be. No other thought except to whom you want to be devoted. Scientifically, I am speaking. You will learn devotion. When devotion will set in, you see, you become helpless. You cannot do otherwise, you see. For your daily saying prayer set a limit at a certain point in hour. For a month, 2, 3, 4 months. One day you have no time to do it, your whole day your heart is upset. You lost something, you feel like that. This whole attachment, you know. This is how this is dwelt. And second is, just have the company of somebody whose heart are devoted. Where you are attached. If you want to be devoted to God, you must be, have such company who are devoted to God. If you want to be devoted to the world, alright, that you are God thankful. Everywhere you find like that. And the third, most effective way is to come in contact where that devotion is what is manifesting fully. Where world is made flesh. Where world, W-O-R-L-D, L has been eliminated. L has been eliminated. What remains? World. God, you know? This is how this radiation comes direct to and thousands of miles to only you are situated at a place which is thousands of miles away from you. You must dwell receptive direction from radios and televisions. You hear the voice, you see who is speaking from thousands of miles. Or a God or God man is world made flesh. He's everywhere. Simply you have to turn your minds, hearts that way. To dwell receptively, you will have help from there. But all the same, to come in contact physically, that cannot be undertaken. There you come directly to fire. There you have to direct your attention there. Here you have little or no effort to make to direct your attention. You see with your own eyes. You follow me, how the devotion is good. How that can be strengthened. How you can transmute yourself in devotion. Jesus. So now we should judge where we stand. If our heart is devoted to one, for the sake of the one we are devoted, selfless service we are doing, that is not fine, mind that. You are not devoted to him, only you are devoted for the outer name, fame, for the good name of the world, in the world, this and that, in outer purposes. Then, you are not. You will go where you are attached. This is the devotion. Masters have been explaining these things in their own way. The basic thing is that. You find all masters saying, scriptures speak of the same thing. They say something, but practically you have gone through it. You find now how the devotion is dwelt. For that purpose you have got regularity. Keep your time. That will make you regular. I always enjoin, send your diary blank. How long you will send it? 1 month, 2 months, then you will morally feel, you see. You will begin to do something. Then you will be there with you, all right, please put in more time. I never chastise anybody. Even who doesn't do, I said, well, all right, please do this again. Those who do that, then again they are, you have little thought. So that's the purpose of dying, you see, how important it is. And how many there are really who died. and 2 diaries. Sometimes people simply put in diaries, bring it to me. Well, diary is all clear. And underneath he gets little or no experience. I tell you, dear friend, your diary is all right, then you should have gone to the third place. Heart which is not attached to another, he never thinks of the worldly things, he not, you see, now the failures in the different health. Then his heart is pure, then God must set in, he is there already, he will become manifest. And all the things you are putting regular time, either you are putting time like, as I spoke to you, one man is, one friend in the wire, the field, the other in the church. You see, there are 2 wives, told you, there are 2 friends, one wanted to go to the field for playing, the other wanted to go to the church. Both have their own ways. The one who was in the field, you see, playing, you say, oh, my friend is sitting in the church, oh, he's praying. But his physical body there, but all the same, his heart is there. The one who was in the church, he was just, oh my friend, must be playing just like we said there. So, to come into somebody, you see, he was sitting before the master too. There also, see where you are. You have to derive the full benefit of that. So first of all, ABC starts from diary. This has been to do with very higher purpose, I would say. Follow me now? What is the purpose of diary? Why these things are explained to you in detail? These are given reference in the books, but in detail like that you won't find it like that. The purpose is there. So those who are not keeping diary, they must maintain. I always, again and again, press for that. Those who are not maintaining diary, they have failure. In due course, their whole heart will be attached to the outside and out of their mind will become very devoted, but they are devoted to the world. So now you understand how this devotion is developed, what it gives, how this is further strengthened, and how you rise into that devotion itself. So this is what it's wanting. You see, every day something explained to you in detail so that you may understand something. Only understanding won't do also. You must live up to it. The more you live up to your state, your heart will be attached to some higher thing as compared to the worldly things. I was just speaking about what you were reading here, about love. Love is a question of confront the heart, not the hand. Intellectuals are not necessarily endowed with love. They are just discriminating from one thing to the other. So God is love, and love is God, and our soul will have the same essence as that of God. And the way back to God is also true love. We say prayers. Prayers is full love, devotion. Perform with that, these things, they'll bear fruit. Naturally, there is single-minded attention. If the one who has love in his heart is always thinking of whom he loves, naturally, whoever you just remember in your heart, there will be reaction in that heart too. Like wireless telegraphy, when you one chip put one chip here to the other, so he sounds there. So one thing how to develop love is to constant love of God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And the other thing is, have the company of those who are overflowing with love. And who is that? They are called saints. We are also overflowing with love. For whom? with the self, with the children, with the environment, with those who are there attached. So our love is distributed in so many places. And saints' love is only for one. So by radiation also, by coming close to him, you get some infection of love, you might say, some rays. And also it will give you something, higher quantity within you, but to speak of that. So how to do it? Love, there are two ways. One, constant remembrance with all thy heart and all thy soul. And the other, by coming in contact with those who are really overflowing with the love of God. So when they love, you see, the outward expression naturally follow sweet tongue imbued with humility. That is what Guru Nanak said. So that's the panacea for all is where the worldly are spiritual. This love is not sold at any shop, it is not grown in any field. It is within you already, but that is distributed unless that is related to one ideal. There can be no peace or bliss. One who loves somebody sitting thousands of people in direct attention to him, while sitting thousands of people, quite, what to say, he's out of humor, not yet. So we have to do it now in two ways, by constant remembrance and coming in contact with those who are also in love. Is a toxic. For what of them is trouble everywhere at home. In all regions of social circles, art, the country. So that is why it said God is love and love is God. All these practices we do, you see, a ritual and other things we perform, we say prayers, we perform some outward rites. If they are performed with love, they give some fruit. Otherwise, the mechanic you are uttering, you go on doing, that's okay. Give you a little or nothing. Love is the beginning. Man can only be called man if he is overflowing with love for God and for the sake of God with all the other creation. Because he resides in every heart, in the controlling power, all through the universe. So this we have to do, and that's the only two ways how to do it now. So blame sabse badi barkat hai bhai, isko badhao, kiske saath prem ka khata kahin na kahin na kar rahe ho. हमने लगा लिया दुनिया से, उसका नाम मोह पड़ गया, बार बार दुनिया में आ रहे हैं। इस आत्मा का प्यार रंगना था परमात्मा से, लग गया दुनिया को, फिर दुखी हो रहे हैं। अगर उसके साथ लग गया, मरकर कहाँ जाएंगे, उसी गोद में जाएंगे। So we have got this love in it in our souls. Love of our soul is a conscious entity, must be with all consciousness in God. Our love is now given to all our outer environments, resulted we come again and again in contact with those whom we are attached by heart. If we just have love with God, naturally we'll go where? To his feet. So love is everything. If we direct, we have to change the direction of love. From outside to God with the view what is. quantum energy gives life, matter. When you first hear about some content, what in daily time you come in contact with that, that will fuel. Oh, because that is all love, and you come in contact with that, your soul will overflow with love. In the ocean of love, of soul is the top of the ocean of all consciousness. When top comes in contact with all love, that is that overflow. So that's the most natural way. It can be dwelt with some, as I told you, one perfume seller. You go to him, you have perfume. You have not to pay anything for that, but if he gives you one pile of scent, that's something. So if those who are flowing with love, they give you contact with you, with the all-pervading God, which, then that is your soul will further overflow with love. And that is, for that there are only two things. One, constant remembrance, sweet remembrance imbued with humility, and the society of those who are overflowing with the love of God for all creation. This can be had even by living closer to Him, or by radiation while thousands of miles away. Kabir says, the Master is at the other side of the world, and the disciple is this side of the world, that it stands directed attention towards that. If radio and television can give you a vision of the man speaking and also what he speaks, well, why can't the Shabda of man any work and work? So that the highest religion is love. To dwell that, we are doing all these things. This is what is wanted. Just like it is a worldly example, one will be tossed with somebody. When she is always thinking of the one with whom she has been tossed, then naturally that girl's love. So work like that, that you are because with God. Within you, your soul is because with the God which is within you. Always think of that, while remaining here and here and everywhere. That will be, I will dwell your direction. When you think you are somebody, God is in a sweet love is residing in your heart, then that your reaction will be there. So be in the world, get out of it, and for that you can grant that. Only even you just follow this vision. So, pyar badi cheez hai bhai, pyar ko badhao, nazdeek rehkar bhi, door rehkar bhi, sirf attention hai, paas rehne wale, अटेंशन नहीं करेंगे तो उनसे पूरा फायदा नहीं उठा, दूर रहने उठा जाते हमारे दूर हमारा करते थे कि टेम्परेचर होता है ना वो ठंडो पदा कर खून पीता रहता है और दूर से गाय का बछड़ा आता है दूध पीकर चला जाता है इट इज ऑलरेडी इन इट इन योर सोल. Love is no attachment like that. It is charity. That's the Kumbhara.
Hello. Welcome to the satsang for Master Kripal Singh. This recording combined two of his morning talks from 1967, How to Develop Devotion, which was given on 17th November, and How to Develop Love, given on 27th October. This morning we'll also hear a recording from the last Lake Junaluska gathering, read by Michael Brown.
Good morning. For this morning's reading, I will read, O Mind, Listen for Once. This was published in the Sat Sandesh, September of 1971, and it's also Chapter 7 of The Night is a Jungle. You may call it heart, or you may call it mind, but through its hands, people are selling themselves. Under the control of mind, one remains a man of the world, for mind is not made of consciousness, rather matter. Each and everything has its source and is naturally drawn to that. You can demonstrate this for yourself by throwing a ball of clay in the air as far as your strength will allow. Yet it will return to its own source, the earth. Or you can try to keep a flame upside down. It will not burn downward. It will rise upward, for its source is the sun. All masters stress that one should know oneself, for having identified ourselves with mind, which in turn has identified itself with the senses, indeed, complete forgetfulness has taken place. Birth after birth, the soul thrashes itself to pieces at the hands of the mind, and as long as the mind does not emancipate itself from the senses, and the soul gain freedom from the mind, and come to know itself in truth, it is impossible to know God. One great master says that if you are willing to make a strong resolution to realize the Lord, then put one foot on your mind to make it still. And without any effort, the next step you take will take you to your beloved. To win the mind is to win the world. The mind is difficult to understand, for its net is strong, and it has many departments. There is the pinned, or physical mind, lost in the outer enjoyments, the and Brahmand, astral and causal mind. If one transcends all three, one realizes who one is. Mind is no small thing and is not easy to conquer. But we should start by changing its direction. While its face remains turned toward the worldly things, the soul will be worldly. If it turns around and faces the soul will become spiritual. We must turn it around. Like fire, it is a good servant and a bad master. As I speak on this subject, a certain hymn of Swamiji comes to mind, in which he has described with great beauty the tribulations of soul and mind. I have never taken this hymn before. Listen attentively, for masters open up the subject with deep clarity. O mind, listen to my words. If any man looks into his heart, he will have to admit, if he is honest, that it is filled with unhappiness through the mind's dominance, yet he knows no remedy for it. If you know that someone is stealing your money, one way of controlling the situation is to praise his honesty and work and make him your treasurer. Swamiji advises us to make a friend of the mind. It is our cruel enemy which will go on tormenting our life. But by making friends with it, we take the first step towards gaining the desired control. If one makes friends with an enemy, he may not immediately cease his enmity. He will, however, lessen the length of his cruelty. In this way, there are chances of his becoming stilled, during which time you will be more awakened. Here the soul is pleading to the mind, just listen to one word of mine. You are unhappy, and I am unhappy. Listen, and you will gain peace as well as I. After all, the mind is rarely happy. Do we not say so often, my heart is so sad? When we are restless, he is also restless. So this is an appeal from the soul, asking the mind to listen carefully. I have been thy slave birth after birth, and you have been my Lord. From the day we were separated from God and came into creation, I have been your slave, and have ever danced to whatever tune you chose, mind. I have always been completely yours. Please listen to me for once. I did not even obey God's words or the Guru's, Whatever you ordered, I obeyed. I read page upon page of holy scriptures and threw them all away and turned my face from the Lord just to obey you. Never once did I become God's servant. Never once did I serve the guru. I served only you. So today, I pray you listen to me. You are called the Lord of three regions, wherein even the gods are your disciples. You are the Lord of the physical, astral, and causal regions. You are the master there with control over all the gods and goddesses. If you read authoritative books on the subject, you will find that the mind's orders are carried out on every plane. He is a great Lord, and all due respect is paid to him. Even when you rise above the physical form, you are still under his orders, Andi or astral mind. And then also, in the causal plane, you are under the Brahmandi mind. It is his habit to again and again bring about your downfall. If the gods and goddesses bow down to him, what is the poor condition of man? Rishi, Muni, all are under your orders. Renouncer and righteous alike are in your territory. You are not even aware of what you are before transcending all three regions. The gods and goddesses are anxious to get human form, and it means only that the human form is the highest in all creation, due to its great spiritual possibilities. Man, who has been given this desirable boon, is selling himself to the mind. One cannot say that it is entirely his fault, poor thing. O Nanak, mind can be controlled, but only through his full mercy. When God showers all his mercy and takes the soul above all three regions, then mind is powerless. Up to this point, the danger from the mind remains to lead the poor soul astray. Within your control are brave men and yogis. No one can disobey your word. Because of its vast area of rule, everyone is under the mind's control. So among those who practice meditation, very few rise above even the first region. Even fewer rise above the second. And to rise above the third is really something rare. You bind whoever you wish to this world. Whoever you wish becomes free. The means of freedom lie in leaving the outer enjoyments of senses. If these outer tastes are not cast aside, one remains imprisoned here. Just look at the condition of the world today. Whatever the mind orders is carried out unquestionably, and what is more, those very orders are highly praised throughout the world. The guru's word and holy books are all ignored. The mind's desires are fulfilled. Such high praise of you have I heard, so now I plead to you. If one has served a person devotedly, one can claim at least some rights from that person. So, will you not listen to me just once? You are unhappy, and so am I. Just grant my one request, and you will also accomplish something worthwhile. Only one word must you hear. All masters have explained the situation in their different ways to help the dear souls to realize the facts. Swamiji has personified the soul and the mind and has given expression to the plight of both. In this town, the body, in this valueless place, the world, why remain imprisoned in the darkness? In this body of filth, there is only dense darkness, so why remain imprisoned here? You who are Lord of all three regions, have you forgotten how great you really are? You are really an emperor, yet you have become a garbage collector. Think, awaken. The mind is also a brilliant magistrate who sits in judgment upon his own actions. Satguru told me one thing, take the mind with you. The Satguru advises the soul to take the mind along if it wants to return home. He never says to ignore the mind or leave it behind, that the soul should make it understand and make it agreeable. As long as man does not kill the physical mind and withdraw from the sense level, he cannot proceed. One must leave all sense attractions and rise above body consciousness. Otherwise, it remains impossible to go higher and taste the nectar of the Lord. Excessive eating and drinking, frittering away the attention on worldly sights, sounds, and sensation, all these are outer enjoyments which deny one the bliss of the inner enjoyments. Lord Buddha said we should be desireless, for desire is but sense enjoyment. Only by stepping aside from all this can one truly take a step ahead. If you can take the mind with you, it will be easier. If you forget yourself and your aim in the mind's enjoyments, you will lose all desire to progress. Make it your companion and make it understand the situation. For the mind is unhappy, so much so that at times it cries out in torment. The mind's habit is to drag everything downward. Yet as your friend, even if it wants to hurt you, it will not do so. Under such an arrangement, he might even cooperate with you. If he desires food, then agree. Yes, I will give you food. First, let us do a little meditation. Then we will have food. If you immediately refuse the food, he will be tormented with the desire for it. He is like a stubborn donkey. The more you restrict him, the more stubborn he becomes. It is a very accurate definition of the mind. If you make a note in a book, do not read page so-and-so, it will be the first page people will read. They won't be able to resist the temptation. So make your mind a companion. Don't fight with him. So I plead with thee, why delay? Transcend body consciousness. There is no truth in this world, no righteousness, no justice. Why not rise above and place all your attention in the ineffable one Lord? Until this happens, that eye is not developed to which you will have true perception. Two very powerful forces are anger and lust. They rule over everything. If the attention dwells on lust, the soul falls very low. In anger, the ego expands. The soul cannot be linked with Nam until it withdraws inwardly and rises above the senses. Our attention has instead become like an image of the mind. We want to enjoy all the low worldly things, yet we say we want the highest thing of all, the nectar of life. It is all wrong. How far do we think we will go? Do one thing at a time. Do not remain under this false impression. One saint says, where there is Nam, there is no calm, lust. Where there is calm, there is no Nam. Two cannot remain at once. The mind is a lover of enjoyments, and in the Nam there is the Maharas, the most delectable nectar one can ever taste. If only the mind would take one true sip, it would never again yearn for lower enjoyments. This place is insipid, O friend. Mind, drink the nectar of Nam. We have also, when that nectar comes, this other taste is not to one's likings. Now you are dragging the mind with you to get inside. Then you will have to persuade it to return. Beauty and attractive sounds are two principal factors in keeping one's attention outside, dragging it away from its natural inner inclinations. The poisonous mind gets intoxicated while enjoying beautiful sights and sounds. Even a snake, on hearing the music of the veena, rests its head down and cannot move. It becomes helpless. If outer sounds can have such magnetism, what might be the attractive power of the inner spiritual music and beauty? All glory and beauty lie within you. Tulsi Sahib says, when I went to Brahmand, the world became insignificant. When I reached Parbrahm, Brahmand seemed like a washroom. So it is possible to gain control over the mind only in the company of a Satguru. He will help you befriend it and so make the path easier. Then it may start to listen to you, whereas it usually does not. Many find this difficulty in meditation and say that their mind does not allow them to meditate. So Swamiji is so beautifully advising one to, with love, make it your companion. Love is such a magnificent thing that it can control even the worst charactered person. No matter how much you hate your pitiful situation, yet hate will only serve to increase the problem. You may throw all the filth out of a dirty house, yet the smell of that will spread and permeate not only the interior of your house, but the surroundings too. The true solution is to start washing with the water of love, and gradually the badness will wash away forever. If you are good to your enemy, his enmity will be softened somewhat. Rise above the body, and if you would then care for 1,000 things, they will be given unto you. Guru Amar Das says, O mind, you desired 1,000 things, yet not one was fulfilled. Take my advice, and complete fulfillment will come. One has seen this world and lived in it. Now go up and enjoy that place. Leave now all sensual indulgence, and the way will be easier. At present, you are at the mercy of the mind, for no one can say he is free, although at least you may not return to the world. When the mind tastes the nectar of Nam, he will not wish to indulge in the lower enjoyments. Do this much, and you will have inner peace and happiness. There are other stages ahead wherein the soul falls again and again, even though she is not in this world. Have you ever studied yourself to see if you have progressed at all? We usually find that we were better before, and now we have become worse, for this is the condition of the whole world today. A businessman gives great thought to the method of his business before he starts it, and every so often reviews the position of profit or loss. We unheedingly throw away our precious lives day by day with never a care about how we stand spiritually. The aim is to gain freedom, and we are daily sinking into more slavery under the whip of our desires. If we live recklessly when our hair is black, at least when it turns to white, we should give some thought to how we are living and what it will avail us. Hindu or Muslim, Sikh or Christian, regardless of our religion, we have to get out of the mind's clutches. The same devilry continues. Merely learning a few words on the subject and then nodding the head as if one knows everything, is this spirituality? We may be able to fool the world, never the Lord. To deceive people will avail nothing, particularly not God realization. The Lord is not an innocent child to believe anything you wish. He sees the true condition of your life, inwardly and outwardly. I have no other companion like you, mind. I am yours, and you are mine. The soul offers the mind a token of friendship. I have no other friend but you, for we have been companions for birth after birth. So listen to me today. I, who have been a slave to you for so long, with love and persuasion, it tries to help the mind understand the situation. Now listen to your slave and agree with me. Rise above body consciousness and make your home there. Whether it is said in very simple words or in a complicated fashion, the fact remains the same. The only way to leave the senses behind and transcend into the beyond. If you are really interested in spirituality, you will be wise to fully accept this. You will also have to make your life pure and chaste. All masters say the same, even those with a simple vocabulary. What is there to realizing the Lord? Uproot it from here and plant it there. As you were, so again become. Why suffer unhappiness and happiness here? Go back to whence you came and enjoy the real and lasting happiness there. There are unending miseries and joys in this world. None of them are real. The more you live above body consciousness, the more peace will reign in you. Even when you daily have to return, yet the coolness of spirit gained there will protect you from the heat of the world. And you can always go again at will. The world is suffering from illusion only. The world is being consumed in illusion's invisible fire. As the inner fire of passion burns, so does the outer fire of illusion. In sparsely scattered places, you may find a complete master sitting. One can enjoy the refreshing coolness only in their company. Satguru revealed the secret unto me. Take the mind as companion and return home. For as long as the mind remains within its own territory, you have to take it with you. If you want to start from the beginning, that is more difficult, almost impossible. Why? Because you have become the very image of the mind and cannot separate yourself from it. I, the soul, am in your power. Without your help, I cannot contact the Shant. Cooperation from the mind is necessary, for where does one contact the Shant? Above the body consciousness, after leaving the senses. The soul cannot hear the sound without rising above the physical, above the nine centers, reaching the tenth. And without the mind's help, the process is very long. This is an appeal to the mind so that it will agree to help, like a man inducing his friend to do some work for him. If you do not listen to me, then go into the cycle of 84. If the mind does not listen and cooperate, then one has to continue on the wheel of births and deaths. So it is to the mind's own advantage to be agreeable if it wants to gain freedom from the coming and going in creation. Now show mercy unto me. Hear my plea. Search out that sound. There is a sound of truth vibrating within, a sound which is sung in every being. There is a great attraction in hearing this sound, through which all other attractions will fade away, and the stage of senses will be left behind. One becomes free of them. This mouse mind has become heavy by drinking the weight of God's name. The mind can be weighted down by the mercury-like quality of the Nam, rendering it impossible to run around loose or engage in its ever-constant oscillations. There is no other means of controlling the mind. The accounts of Lord Krishna's life state that he jumped into the river Jumna and controlled the hydra-headed serpent there with the sound of his flute. This many-headed serpent is the mind, which has a thousand ways of inflicting its poison. And without that sound from the beyond, it cannot be controlled or overcome. Outer intellect and knowledge have no power over it, for though it may remain quiet for a short time, it will then run away again. If you cover a fire with ashes, it would seem there is no fire at all. Yet a strong breeze will revive it and reveal the heat lying beneath. However, if you throw water on it, even a thousand tornadoes would fail to revive it. Keep the company of those who are the Nam itself. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the atmosphere surrounding such personalities, there is a charging, a radiation, a rare tranquility. One Muslim prophet declares that the mind cannot be killed until it comes under the shadow of a perfect master. Even 1,000 practices will be of little avail if you cannot leave the senses and have a contact with Nam, without which there is no salvation. Let you and me climb above. We will reside on the hill of Samara. Samara lies above the physical plane. And the soul says, come, let us go there. The days are hot here, and there we will enjoy a cool breeze. The whole world is being consumed in flames. Come, let us rise above the heat of physical consciousness and enjoy the coolness. O mind, we will be happy there, for here we are both unhappy. When we reach there, you will be king, and I will go ahead to Radha Swami. The mind becomes king of Triloki, the three regions, physical, astral, and causal, and remains there. For mind is the instrument of the negative power, just as the soul is an entity of God. the ocean of all consciousness. So the mind comes into its own kingdom, blending in one with the Lord of the three stages, and the soul goes to its true home. I have a couple of minutes left, and I just wanted to read a prayer from Master's book, also called Prayer, and it's particularly applicable to this topic. It's called Ode to the Satguru. Long and dreary has been the struggle of the mind, all in vain. All potent art thou, and can do aught, then why this delay? Wandering up and down in the wheel of life, I have never had a success. O munificent Lord, have mercy, free the spirit, and concentrate it all. The arch enemy of the mind is but a waste. O sow in it the seeds of love. Enamored of false delights, it knows not true happiness. Hankering after the pleasures of the world, it has never tasted the sweetness of the Lord. What should I do? How should I try to set it right? For it does not take to the word of the Master. The mind is a curious medley and has no interest in the Shabd. How can it save itself from the vicious cycle of births and deaths when it does not practice the word given by the Master? It shall keep tossing in the world and remain in the clutches of Yama, the god of death. Forgetful of the word of the Master, it shall suffer terribly. O Master, immanent in every heart, why dost thou not lead me out? When there is none else whom I can call mine own, O take me to the heaven above. Have mercy on me now, and take me to thy heavenly house as thy may. Entangled in evil thoughts, I am an utter stranger in a strange land. Reform me this time, and I shall lovingly think of thee all the time. I feel repentant and sad, as I know not how to contact my beloved. He lives in the high heavens, while I am a creature of the earth and miserable without him. O Sadguru, attend to my tale of woe and take me out of the domain of death. In sheer helplessness I cry unto thee. Thou, O beloved, hast encouraged me to fly to the heavens with the wings of love. Thy grace has enabled me to meet my beloved and to escape from all toils and miseries. O Master, just listen to my prayer. I bow unto thee again and again. Drive the evil out of me and grant me proximity to thy lotus feet. Ferry me safely ashore, for my bark is in the midst of an eddying whirl. None save thee is my own. Save me as thine own, O Master. With all my ills, I am yet thine, and thou art donor beyond all limitations. I worship thee with all my heart and soul, and make a sacrifice of all unto thee. Now I have a powerful sheet anchor, though I know not thy worth. Thou hast explained the mystery of the inner sound current. The devil of the mind listens to it not. Wandering in the ups and downs of life, it runs after name and fame. How may I turn its directions without thy loving grace, O Master? O Lord of my spirit, listen to my prayer and pull the mind out from its rut. I ask of the Master but one gift. Make me recognize the mystic word. All my life I have wandered with the mind. O free me from the bondage of karmas. Let my consciousness recede within and hear the ceaseless sound and the mind grow still. Thus can I escape from all ills and reach the eternal place of Sat Shabd, the true mystic word. Grant unto me the intoxication of the word, so that I may remain absorbed in it. Thy harm and dishonor shall not affect me, for I shall always be lost in thy sweet memory. Let me not be swept off by this time stream. Grant me the sheet anchor of the world. My mind has now grown humble, O Master. Let it lose itself in thy lotus feet. O Master, take me to thy abode. O thou the merciful, take me to thy abode. What should I do? My strength fails me, and my mind finds no rest. O Satguru, Take pity on me, for I remain miserable in all the time. Neither the consciousness recedes within, nor the mind gets stilled, and I cannot appreciate the greatness of the word. I have taken the path of the masters, a high road to spirituality. Why then, O Master, dost thou take no hold of me? This noble path of the masters shall suffer a great setback if I succeed not in my endeavors. I cry for my egoistic reason, and do not resign myself to thy will. I beg of thee again and again, oh, give me the gift of thy word. O Master, word personified as thou art, I come to thee for relief. How can I liberate myself from the wiles of the mind? This is the problem of my soul. It has cast a deadly spell of worldly pleasures, and I am thus separated from my real home. Enmeshed in the 10 senses, I find myself in a vicious circle. Having been expelled from the 10th portal, I am wandering through the 9 gates. Caught in the web of worldly pleasure, I find no way out of the bondage. Beside the Master, I see nobody capable enough to lead me out of the wilderness. I am all afraid of Yama, the Lord of Death. Who else can free me of this fear? As a branch fallen off the tree, I am cast away from the real home. I beg the Master to get my mind to love his lotus feet. Purify my heart with thy satsang, for there it will separate itself from the body and contact the mystic sound, and then will I drink amrit nectar from the fount of immortality. And then, with pains and miseries disappear, and the soul will have no fear. Then will I contact the sound principle, word or shabd, and gain the love of my Swami, the Lord. O Lord, make me thine own. I have come, for I seek shelter at thy feet. And that's a prayer of Swami Shiv Dayal Singh. So I started my reading with O Mind, Listen for Once, Chapter 7 of Night is a Jungle, and also in September 1971 issue of Sat Sandesh, and concluded with a prayer that's located in the appendix of this book, Prayer by Kirpal Singh. Thank you all for listening, and thank you, Master, for giving us these wonderful words of inspiration.
Thank you, Michael. 81 of us attended today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for your patient listening. And thank you, Master, for keeping us within your fold.
Active life is stepping stone to spirituality. We must be chaste. We must be honest. We must be forgiving. Forgive and forget. That's the only remedy for anger.